morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, July 6, 2020. Today's readers are Shelley E. reading the 12 Steps, Martha M. reading the 12 Traditions, and reading the texts are Leslie M., Betsy H., and Kara L. Our newcomer greeter will be Janice P.M., and giving us announcements will be Robin P. The reference numbers for the prior two meetings, yesterday, Sunday, July 5th, special edition, 14922 or 14922. And this morning, 7 a.m. meeting, today, July 6th, the reference number is 14926 or 14926. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Shelley E. to read the 12 steps.
Thanks, Kathy. Good morning, everyone. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Shelley E. And Martha M., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
Good morning, Kathy K. This is Martha M. from Connecticut, anorexic, bulimic, and compulsive overeater. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, Kathy, and thank you for your service. Have a great day.
Thank you, Martha M., for your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. When you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we will be starting our reading on page XV, the foreword to the second edition, the third paragraph down. And I will ask Leslie M. to begin reading.
Thank you, Kathy K. My name is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. The spark that was to flare into the first AA group was struck at Akron, Ohio, in June 1935, during a talk between a New York stockbroker and an Akron physician. 6 months earlier, the broker had been relieved of his drink obsession by a sudden spiritual experience following a meeting with an alcoholic friend who had been in contact with the Oxford groups of that day. He had also been greatly helped by the late Dr. William D. Silkworth, a New York specialist in alcoholism, who is now accounted no less than a medical saint by AA members, and whose story of the early days of our society appears in the next pages. From this doctor, the broker had learned the grave nature of alcoholism. Though he could not accept all the tenets of the Oxford groups, he was convinced of the need for moral inventory, confession of personality defects, restitution to those harmed, helpfulness to others, and the necessity of belief in and dependence upon God. You know, this is such a great little history here of the beginning. You know, it talks about Bill W., Dr. Bob, and then it references Abby as being the friend, Dr. Silkworth, who was, you know, obviously, gave Bill an important piece of the understanding of the illness as far as the allergy was concerned, the grave nature of this allergy, of this disease that we have. And then he talks, you know, there's a little summary of the tenets of the Oxford groups that later became into the, came to be the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, which we use also in Overeaters Anonymous. The thing that really spoke to me this morning was the necessity of belief in and dependence upon God. I know that, you know, for most of my life, you know, I have definitely been an agnostic without knowledge. You know, I believe that my early experiences proved that there was no God, or as I've heard in the book, if there is a God, he has never done anything for me. But, you know, this really, even more than a belief in God, my now dependence upon God has become such an important part of my recovery. It is my recovery. You know, in the beginning, I had to use there's a God and I'm not it. Because really what I was trusting in was I was trusting in the process, that this process of working the 12 steps was going to get me there. I did not have a connection to a power greater than myself. I didn't understand it. I still don't understand it, but I certainly have a connection today, and I'm very grateful for that. So my dependence upon God at this point is, you know, I've been able to put God in the driver's seat, and now I sit in the back seat, and I'm not a backseat driver. I'm just, okay, you know, wherever I'm going, it's fine. You know, there's a prayer that I say that talks about, you know, I hope that the desire to please you does in fact please you. Because I know that I'm not perfect and I'm never going to be. And I will not always do God's will for me. But the fact that I have that desire today instead of the desire to see the things that I think are going to work out in my life. Because I don't have any idea what's supposed to work out in my life. You know, I have some situations going on that are starting right now. And I'm like, when I first heard about one of them, I was like, oh my God, this can't happen. And then within minutes, it was like, okay, if it's supposed to happen, it must be God's will for me. And, you know, I can accept that and go on from there. And I'm so very grateful to have that in my life today. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Leslie M., for getting us started today. Okay, I'd like to take names of people who would like to share. And I want to remind you that we value your experience and also ask that you limit your every third day on this vision meeting in order that others might share their experiences too. With that in mind, who would like to share today?
Paul L. from Florida.
Okay, Paul L.
Danielle John J.
Danielle J. Who else?
Maria F.
Maria F.
Thank you.
Deborah G.
Deborah G. Is there one more person who would like to share? Okay, we'll start with this list then. We have Paul L., Danielle J., Maria S., and Deborah G. Please go ahead, Paul.
Yes, hi. My name is Paul, compulsive eater from Florida. And I just wanted to thank everyone and thank for this meeting for being here. I'm so grateful to be here. I can honestly say I'm a grateful, recovering overeater. And this last part that the other person was talking about that said it was convinced of the need for moral inventory, confession of personality defects, restitution to those harmed, helpfulness to others, and the necessity of belief and a dependence upon God. I think that not just having the belief that God will keep me abstinence, but the dependence, you know. And Maya, I'm a binge eater, so I think. At nighttime is my witching hour, so I was never quite convinced that God could help me. I thought I was one of the ones that couldn't get it, and now I have 5 days of abstinence, and I'm like, It's not always easy, but in the back of my mind, I know my higher power is doing the work. I've become much more dependent. And, you know, my experience is I was not abstinent before I went through the steps. It took me to get to the 12th step to get abstinent and start helping others. And it's funny, when that happens is I have this spark now within me where I want to carry this message. You know, I want to show others how hard it was for me and that I got it. I'm starting a meeting in my house in my town because I ran into people that are attracted to what I've been talking about. I talk a lot. So I'm just real grateful to be here, and I'm grateful that I have 5 days. I always had that fear in the back of my head, what's going to happen tonight? Man, am I going to eat? Can he really keep doing this? And the answer is yes, he can really keep doing it, because I hear stories every time I come on a meeting that people have long-term abstinence. I don't care about a date. I don't even know what the date was. I just know that one day at a time I want to stay abstinent, and this program is doing that for me. And I'm so grateful for the moderators and everybody that's contributing to this meeting. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Paul L., for your share. Okay, Danielle J., please share with us.
Hi, thank you so much. Thank you to everyone, and thank you to moderator for your service. Danielle J., compulsive overeater. So I was just reading this morning in the AA Comes Alive how for the first, you know, obviously the relationship between Bill and who he calls Silky, which is so adorable. He was saying how, you know, for the first 6 months, he was given all these opportunities to be able to help these alcoholics, and they just weren't getting, you know, he just wasn't having any success. And Dr. Silkworth said, stop preaching to them, give them the rock bottom, information of, the allergy of the body, the obsession of the mind. And then maybe after that, they'll be desperate enough to be able to hear your message, about spirituality and higher power. And it makes me think about how I so often have to have like really concrete things in order to show me even something spiritual. And there was once I had this really kind of stark, it sounds silly, but I lost some keys, and they were like vital keys. And it was somebody else's keys, and they were in, we're in this huge, place. And I just like got down on my knees in this parking lot. I'm like, oh my God, I don't know where these keys are. And I just all of a sudden I went up like 2 miles up the road, and they were in my coat where I'd been doing some crafts, and I didn't know that. So it's that kind of thing. And how in the big book he talks about, we don't know how when we turn on the switch that the lights are going to come on, but they do. And that's another stark example. And sometimes I just need that sort of thing on my hard head. So anyway, thank you so much, everyone. Thank you for allowing me.
Thanks so much, Danielle J. Maria S., please share with us.
Thank you, Kathy. Good morning, everyone. My name is Maria F. as in Frank, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from County Dublin in Ireland. And I was so excited reading this paragraph this morning, and I absolutely love the use of the word spark. And I, for one, am so grateful for that spark that, it ignited that flare back in 1935. And that spark, which was the start of the wholesale miracle of recovery for many thousands upon thousands of alcoholics all over the world. And I believe that spark was God. And we learn here about some of the people who were instrumental in Bill Wilson's recovery. And in this paragraph, Bill, he's been sober for 6 months, and he's been given the problem by Dr. Silkworth, who's described here as the medical saint. And I believe he absolutely was a medical saint. And Bill's given the solution from his friend, Debbie Thatcher. And Bill goes on to have what is described here as a sudden vital spiritual experience. And I've often said in this line that, I don't believe so much in coincidence, but I really believe that God knew exactly what he was doing when he sent Abby Thatcher to Bill. It was no coincidence. because Abby affected Bill like no non-alcoholic could, because Abby carried that message of depth and weight. And yeah, for me, it's that strenuous work, you know, one alcoholic with another, that's absolutely vital for recovery. Yeah, it's, you know, when one alcoholic shares with another, that the opportunity for recovery begins, because recovery begins from that very point, when two alcoholics, our case, couples of overeaters, are together. And this instruction, you know, of helping others, is suggested and repeated many times throughout our big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And for me, if I'm to move from in recovery to recovered, I must be prepared to help others and to help other compulsive overeaters and to carry this message of depth and weight. And that was among one of the first questions my sponsor asked me. You know, she said from the beginning, you know, are you willing to pass this along? Maria, are you willing to carry this message? And today, absolutely, I am, and so grateful to do it. And on page XVI, it suggested that we at least in part inherited from the Oxford Group the tenets which have become part of today's 12 steps as we know them today. And these tenets listed here are, you know, the need for moral inventory, the confession of personality defects, the restitution to those harmed, helpfulness to others, and especially the line it says here, the necessity and belief in and dependence upon God. And it's that word that speaks to me. It really speaks to me, that word dependence, you know, the dependence upon God, because I can't do this on my own. I absolutely need God. It's not so much today for me. The point of the 12 steps is not so much to stop my eating, which, you know, it's a prerequisite that, you know, I do that when I put down the food, but it's enabled me to effect a more consistent conscious contact with God and to live in the solution today, because I've been rocked into that fourth dimension of existence. And, you know, sometimes I have to pinch myself, because I came in for food. I came in because I had a problem with food, and I thought that that's all I needed, you know, just sort out my food and I'd be good to go. And I know today food is not my problem. It's a symptom, but it's not my problem. And I've been given so much more. This is a program that just keeps on giving, you know, and for that I am so grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Maria F., for your share. Deborah G., please share with us.
My name is Deborah, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And thank you, Kathy K., for chairing the meeting today and all those that have made the meeting possible. I'm just so grateful that this meeting is here today and for all the shares to continue to remind me. I love that too, belief and dependence on God, that I need to have, you know, it's like I learned from people's experience, what they would share, how that belief and dependence worked in their life. And it was wonderful. It was just a wonderful spiritual awakening experience for me to hear that, which gave me the willingness to do that also. You know, in my first step experience, I can't do this. Again, surrendering to that power, which I choose to call God. And then third, bringing in, it's all the invites in step two. God. Invite in step three, God. Invite in step four and five, God. Six and seven, God. Eight and nine, God. 10, 11, 12, God. It's all inviting God into that experience. And by my doing that, I got closer. And I got this experience that God is either everything or nothing. From doing that, it was like reprogramming myself from being a non-believer and a non-dependent to fully relying upon. And I don't always fully rely upon. That's the thing. I can get off base into self-centered fear, resentment, you know, all these things that take me away from that. But because of this program, I'm reminded I have beautiful, beautiful, beautiful spiritual souls on these meetings that remind me and get me back there. And I can call. And it's just a beautiful experience. Thank you all so much. Bye.
Thank you, Deborah G. Okay, I'd like to take some more names. Anyone who hasn't shared in the last 3 days, or last 2 days, really, if you didn't share on yesterday or Friday, please share with us.
Michelle J.
Michelle G. Good morning, Michelle.
J. Good morning. J is in jewelry, please.
J. And your last initial, J?
Yeah, that's Michelle J. I'm sorry.
Oh, Michelle J. I thought I heard Michelle G. Okay. Michelle J. Who else would like
Margo P.
Who is that?
Margo P.
Myra P?
Margo P.
Oh, Margo P. Thank you, Margo. Who else?
Mary G.
Mary G.
Carrie C.
Kerry C. Anyone else? I can relax the restrictions.
Maria.
Go ahead. Who is that?
Laura Lee S. Denver.
Laura Lee S. And perhaps one more.
Stacy K.
Thank you all. We have Michelle J., Margo P., Mary G., Carrie C., Laura Lee S., and Stacy K. Please go ahead, Michelle J.
Michelle J. from Arkansas. You know, my heart's just pounding out of my chest on this one. I am recovered and recovering every day. By the grace of God, by His mercy, every day I'm learning more about God. And when you listen to this and you listen to people speak, we all can come in and we can talk. And this is where my heart is coming from. You know, before program, when life was a mess and everything was falling apart, just like these guys, it's not that I wasn't intelligent. It's not that I wasn't creative. And I used to have this tenacity. But, you know, life still fell apart, and my world fell apart, and food became my God. That's a long journey to get there. But in that, I was an atheist. There was no God. Like everybody, you know. Why? Because I had too much brain. I had too much hurt and pain that I saw with my eyes. I had too much reasoning. You know, when life finally crashed, and crashed hard, and it was, God, if you're there, help me find you. Or it was going to blow my brains out. Literally. You know what? We began a journey, God and I, and we're all on this journey. And year after year, step by step, I invited him in. I invited God in. Invite your higher power into your life, you know? And I'd tease. I'd say, well, if you're God, then you will do this. Believe it or not, God did some things, and he led me on a journey. And so now, when I started OA a year and a half ago, food was so out of control. I never thought to ask that power into my life to fix that. But I thought, hey, why not? I listened to all of you, worked for you, because that God was a father that I couldn't know. Daddy's and me and fathers, that figure, that God for me, that's who I have now, a year and a half into program. That one is the one that when I look at my grandchild at 1.5 years old, he holds the food up to his mom and dad, and he doesn't have words yet, but he holds the lizard up, or he holds whatever he finds, and he says, is this okay? Is this all right? He trusts that mom and dad, just like I trust God now. It, you know, it's a journey. It's a process. A long time ago, before, when I was still an atheist in college, at a party, using everything I could to get my mind somewhere else, I was asking these weird, questions of the world and existence, and this guy says to me, never stop asking questions and you'll have the answers. And that has rang true. So with that, never stop asking questions. And just put your toe in the water
and work through the process. And with that, I'll pass.
Kathy K, star one.
About that. Thank you, Michelle J.
Go
ahead, Margot P.
Yeah, this is Margot P. Grateful to be on this call. And I'm grateful that we're going back to this history of this big book because I'm grateful to still abstinent, still have my program in place for one day at a time. And the history of this paragraph, you know, talks about the winners, you know, because I was told at the beginning, hang out with the winners, and the winners are the people who are recovering, and then receive the medicine that I need to receive in recovering with my food addiction. And so hearing this and to understand, you know, I understood what the beginning of the God of understanding, I thought I was God, and I didn't believe that he could control my food. And it's like, you need to talk to higher power when you're in a situation of binging or when you're relapsing, you know. And I had to get more connected when my sponsor suggested that, to do that to me, you know, do that all the time, one day at a time. And what is my belief and what is my necessity of this? And it's my recovery. And so today I depend with my higher power. I do this all the time. And now I'm in a situation with a family of mine who's in suffering with this disease, but he's suffering in a different way of diabetes. And, you know, he has to go 3-day kidney transplant. And my fear is that I'm going to lose a friend, you know. And it's hard. It's hard because, you know, this disease, it runs in my family. We all, my family is highly very compulsive overeater, and also diabetic runs in the family. Now I come to find I have two brothers in the hospital with a heart condition. I was like, wow, God, what's going to go on? What's going on? And I have to depend on him. This morning, I woke up at 3:30 in the morning, and this person close to me fell on the floor. He doesn't have balance, and he lost his balance, and he hurt himself on the floor, and I didn't hear him, and I didn't hear him, and I say, I knock on the door and I said, I just want to check in to see if you're okay. And after that, you know, I went to my sanctuary garden. I pray and I look up to the sky. It was dark and it's beautiful stars, the moon. And I say, okay, God, I'm here. I'm here. You hear me out. You hear my pain. And it's the miracle of this program that I can depend on the higher power, that I can depend on him for anything. Because, you know, it's like you said, depending on him. And when it's helpful, I need his help. And then dealing with my fourth step, I remember doing the fourth step, that confession inventory was a while back. And now I'm right back to step one with my new sponsor. And I'm grateful for that because it's like reading this paragraph and going back to starting the book, and it's like, wow, I didn't think that we have to go back to the beginning and understanding the history, you know. And that's like Harlem say, the Oxford group he talked about too. And just listen to more and being on this call. So I'm grateful that I was able to share a couple of days ago because I was still in the tears with my situation. But I'm grateful for today and an opportunity given to me to share, and I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Margot P. Mary G., please share with us.
Hi, this is Mary G. I'm just looking at this, and what sticks out the most is, you know, the necessity of belief in dependence upon God. You know, a necessity. It's you know, a requirement. And I'm finding more and more each day how much I require this belief. I just started Vision in early May. I've been in OA for, you know, face to face meetings for a while now, but this is all new, this intense study of the big book, and it's great. I am finding so much more of a reliance upon my higher power. I woke up this morning with fear. I had fear, you know, right upon awakening. And, you know, the wheels started turning and I was getting all anxious and trying to, like, fix and manage and, control the situation that was going to possibly be going on. And I stopped and I remembered, no, Mary, you're not running the show. There's no need for this fear. You have a God that will relieve this of you. And you have a program and, you know, a set of tools and a way of living. And it was such a relief to remember, oh my goodness, you know, I could do a fear inventory on this. I don't have to hang on to this. I don't have to try to, make this work out the way I want it to. And I have to say, it's such a relief. It's such a wonderful way of living. You know, the old Mary would be obsessing about this all day long, this thing that I have no control over. So I'm just so grateful for this this way of living, you know. It really works. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mary G. Carrie C., please share with us.
Hi, good morning. This is Carrie C., a recovered compulsive overeater in New Jersey. And, boy, it's so good to be on this line. Thank you for your service. I was really struck this morning by the talk between Bill and Dr. Bob and the meeting between Bill and Ebby. And it just brought me and reminded me of page 25 and a sentence that always reminds me of my gratitude and my experience. And it says, when therefore we were approached by those in whom the problem had been solved, there was nothing left for us but to pick up the simple kit of spiritual tools laid at our feet. Everything I've read tells me there was nothing left for Bill but to pick up the spiritual tools. There was nothing left for Bob than to pick up the spiritual tools. And there was certainly nothing left for me than to pick up the spiritual tools. And the word approached in the reading that I know isn't today's, but it's the one that I get reminded of when I read about a talk and a meeting. Those meetings and those talks happened because those in whom the problem had been solved, those who believed in and counted on the necessity of dependence upon God, they wanted to share that so they could keep it. They wanted to share that because they knew that was the answer of what it really meant to have a spiritual experience. And that's why I need to do, and I do what I do. You know, that's why someone brought that to me. Someone approached me. They approached me and gave me these tools, and they gave me their belief in dependence upon God, a message of depth and weight. And so I'm just struck by this morning, and I'm so grateful that, you know, those talks happened so that these talks can happen. And so we can be relieved of our obsession and have the real experience, which isn't the abstinence. It's not the freedom from the obsession. It's the dependence upon God and God in my life today. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Carrie C. Laura Lee S., please share with us. Laura Lee, press star 1 to unmute.
I'm so sorry. This is Laura Lee S. in Denver. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
I'm sorry. I thought I'd figured it out, but I guess not.
Go ahead.
So grateful to be on this meeting, and thank you to everyone who's shared and who's doing service today. What really struck me about this paragraph today was the grave nature of my illness. Which is, that's just really where I am. I'm in the middle of my amends, my ninth step, and that is my motivation. You know, I check in with people. What are my motives? Do I appear to have a sincere desire to right the wrong? Can I go to this person in a spirit of forgiveness? But ultimately, I am doing this because I don't want to die or have a stroke from my compulsive overeating. And it's taken time to get some willingness, but I have been asking God for willingness and ego deflation and all these things so that I can make these amends because I can really see now the grave nature of my illness. And then, of course, the history and the Oxford groups, and what really struck me about that was, you know, when the Big Book was written, it was written by a handful of people with no more than 3 years of sobriety. And it is amazing to me that they came up with this. But looking at the history, you know, none of the steps are new. These are almost universal spiritual principles. They come from millennia of spiritual experience of people. But for me, what was new, because when I came back to OA this time, I thought I was being honest. I thought that I had made amends for what I needed to. I thought, you know, that I was doing all the steps. But clearly I wasn't, because I was eating compulsively. And what it took for me was the fellowship of people like me. And I think that was very important to the history of AA also, that talking to someone who's been there, you know, like it says, talking to someone in whom the problem has been solved, there's nothing like that. And I'm sure everyone else in my life saw how spiritually ill I was before I came to OA. But it took someone with the exact same problem to get me to see it. You know, you guys can see right through me, and you say things that nobody else would ever say to me. And it's been very painful, this ego puncturing continually every time I talk to someone in OA. But that has been the solution, and my relationships have improved. Everything has improved. I'm not eating compulsively. It truly is a miracle what has happened in my life as a result of the fellowship and the stop. So I'm really grateful and tend to tear up when I read about the history, because it's so amazing to me that miracles still occur in our time, and I'm one. So thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Laura Lee S. And Stacy K., please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy. Good morning, everybody. This is Stacy K. in Colorado. Wow, this is a pretty packed, powerful paragraph for a foreword in any book, right? And what a powerful meeting. You know, I love the history of AA. I love learning more about it. You know, there's so many more teachers out there that know so much about the history of AA, and it's a beautiful thing. But I can't help but just focus on, you know, that last line where Dr. Bob, you know, he was convinced, you know, of the need for moral inventory, confession of personality defects, restitution to those harmed, helpfulness to others, and the necessity of belief in the dependence upon God. Oh my God, this is our practice, right? This is absolutely, you know, what what I need to continue to do for a lifetime. If I want to stay recovered, if I want to continue to grow along spiritual lines, I got to be doing these things. These are the steps, right? And I need all the reminders I can get. That's why I love so much, you know, working with others. Why it is, you know, the most amazing part of my life, you know, like that I can be helpful, that I can carry this message. And without that person that brought the message to me, I would not be able to bring it to others. Without this book, without, you know, hearing the powerful message from others, I wouldn't be able to continue doing this, right? Because I have this great forgetter. And I love just being able to set aside everything I think I know, you know, and to have a new experience every day with this book, to practice with you all, you know, it's like my favorite word is that practice word. So I'm gonna keep going to God, and I'm gonna keep, you know, praying and practicing and doing this inventory and continue to learn and grow. So that's all I got. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Stacy K. We still have a few minutes. Who would like to share?
Kathy K. from Sacramento.
Oh, good. Kathy K., please share with us.
Hi, everyone. I'm really grateful for this meeting, and I'm coming off of a weekend where I did not practice dependence on a power greater than myself, and because of that, I was in the food, and so, you know, today I am being of service, taking a friend to a medical appointment, and so I got up and am doing things on my action plan that are necessary for me to connect with my higher power, which is, I know, the only way I can stay abstinent, in doing the writing about what happened over the past 3 or 4 days. It very simply came down to not depending on my higher power. And so to read about the beginnings of the Mother Fellowship is really helpful to me to once again be constantly pounded into my very, very hard head. I'm Irish, and I'm, you know, Irish by culture, and I swear it makes me more stubborn. So I need to be reminded over and over and over and over again that it's belief in independence upon the God of my understanding. And I know today that God will help me make the right choices to stay abstinent. And so I'm so grateful you all are here and have been sharing your experience and strength and hope today, because I need it to kind of charge my day. So that's all I've got. Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy Kay. We can take one more share. Would anyone like to share?
This is Christian. I'd share.
Great, Christian. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, just that this program, you know, we constantly are used to wanting to run the show, but this program shows us that only gets us so far. Maybe it works for a time. You know, maybe we can kind of try our hardest and our best and put all our effort into things, but ultimately that seems to leave us, you know, with chronic compulsive eaters, beaten and worn down and exhausted and looking for a quick fix in the food. But, you know, this program frees us from that obsession, frees us from that thinking that it all depends upon us and that we have to do every little thing right and make things work out just the way we want to in order for things to work out for us. But, you know, the program shows us that our higher power is actually the one who's running the show and that we're not God, you know, and that's a humble lesson and something that I certainly struggled with, but submitting to that and letting God be God and, you know that he will take care of things and get me right where I need to be helps me to not be afraid, not to be nervous or anxious about the future, but and to also see other options besides, like, the one way when I'm morbidly reflecting about how I think things are going to turn out, how it could turn out a million other ways, and they're always going to be better than the way I try to make happen. So, yeah, it's for me, it's a daily and continuous thing to keep growing in closeness with God and not feel like, okay, I've done this much, you know, I can start doing things on my own again. But, you know, it's always know how much more can I give over to God and stop trying to feel like I'm in control. And that is always a place that leads me to a feeling of peace and a better, you know, easier day than when I try to do a billion things on my own. So with that, I will pass. Can we leave contact info now, or is that at the end?
Thank you very much, Christian. Okay, well, thank you, everyone, for a wonderful meeting. Thank you, everyone who listened and everyone who shared. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, and then we'll say the Serenity Prayer. Betsy H., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Press star 1, Betsy, to unmute. Okay, is there someone else on the line?
I can do that.
Kathy, I can. Kathy, I'm the backup reader. I can do it. It's Kara L.
Please. Yeah,
okay.
Great.
Kara, go ahead, please.
All right. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.